meeting with 789. Number 789, must I go and empty-handed thus my dear Redeemer meet? 789. The Lord. Our Father, we bow and wait in thy holy presence tonight, and we thank thee that thou art constantly and continually challenging our hearts and calling us out to something higher and something further and greater. And we thank thee for this. We realize we need ever so much the exercise of God's Holy Spirit and these great truths that we've been singing about in our opening hymn. And we think on this challenging thought tonight, and must I go and empty-handed? And Father, this often comes before us. Just how much will we have to lay at thy feet? And will our hands be greatly empty? Will we have little to give to Thee at the end of the day? Or will there be much to lay at Thy feet? Souls that we have helped to bring to the Savior's feet, and lives reclaimed from eternal death. We realize just to win one soul from eternal death, it would be worthwhile to live our whole life. And our Father, we pray that day by day the burden of the perishing may lie heavily upon our hearts. And we ask our Father that a keenness to win souls to the Savior may ever possess our hearts and our spirits. And our Father, we do pray for souls we believe at this present time, in our meetings, in our Sunday night meetings, that are under the working and exercise of the Spirit of God. We pray that Thou wilt bring them through for Thyself. And our Father, we do pray that Thou wilt bless those that have recently trusted the Savior. And we ask that their heart will be encouraged and cheered and blessed even tonight. And now, our Father, we look to Thee that the Holy Spirit of God will talk to our hearts right through this whole meeting on this important subject of witness bearing and casting light across the pathway of others. And may the Spirit of God enlighten our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we have a few short readings tonight. And first of all, in the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus 25. Verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches out of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. And then verse 37, just for the sake of time. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. And then we turn into Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 24, pardon me, 24, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And then 1 Kings 7 and verse 48. And Solomon made all the vessels that pertained unto the house of the Lord. Verse 49. The candlesticks of pure gold, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. We just complete this with one verse in the Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 12, John tells us here, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." And then verse 20, the explanation. "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Amen. The Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, tonight we are come to the golden candlestick, and that is the third article of furniture within the first of the two sanctuaries in Solomon's temple. You had the holy place and the most holy place. And being on the subject of the golden candlestick that was shedding and casting light, we are naturally tonight on the subject of witness bearing and of seeking to cast light across the pathway of others that are on their way from time into eternity. Now, I am pleased to be on this subject tonight because I would like to mention also tonight some of the things that are upon our hearts for the incoming year of 1980. And as I set before you the teaching on the candlestick, then you'll be able to see why I am mentioning tonight the things that are upon our hearts as we contemplate the 80s. Now, some of us have been exercised. I personally was exercised about some outreach work amongst the young people. And so in the month of March, we are planning a week's outreach work toward the young people, that is to reach the teens and the 20s. And we would like you to be specially remembering this in prayer. Our brother, Pastor Jack Hughes, will be coming, and we shall be making this special drive toward the teenagers and the people in their 20s. Then, God willing, we are hoping and planning to have a missionary conference or a missionary convention just right at the very beginning of September, last day or so of August, first day of September. And we're watching the convention speakers that will be coming to Bangor Missionary Convention, and we're hoping to bring some in for our own missionary conference or convention. And so we want to have an emphasis on the missionary end as well as the young during the incoming year. And then we were burdened about further evangelistic outreach. And so I was on the phone with Pastor Willie Mullen about the possibility of coming for our gospel mission. And God willing, he has promised to be with us in November, from the 9th of November right on toward the end of the month. And so we have quite a full year ahead of us. We have the outreach in March, the missionary convention in September, and an evangelistic campaign in November. So we are wanting much prayer, and the burden of our heart is this, that as a church, we may let our light shine out, and we pray that God will bless that witness and testimony and the salvation of many precious souls. Now, having said that, we're coming now tonight to the golden candlestick. And the golden candlestick here is something that speaks of light and witness bearing and of evangelism and of seeking to shed light on the pathway of others that are traveling on through time. Now, I want to give you just one or two things about the golden candlestick by way of description of the golden candlestick, and then we'll endeavor later to bring out the teaching. Now, first of all, as to its design, it was a beautiful piece of furniture. This model is somewhat small, but you can come up and see it afterward. It was a beautiful piece of furniture, and it had one central shaft right down the middle. That's one of the first things to notice and remember about it. And then out of the central shaft, there came three branches on either side of the shaft, so giving seven lights in all. Now, the weight of this golden candlestick was 1 talent of pure gold, according to Exodus 25:39. And I understand a talent of gold could weigh something like 114 pounds weight. So this golden candlestick that was, first of all, you remember there was one in the tabernacle, would have been over 100 pound weight. And that is a fair weight for even the average man to have to lift. So if you can imagine a man lifting one of these golden candlesticks, you can realize that he is as much as he could possibly handle. And then there was not only the weight of it, but the value of it. Now, I understand a talent of gold in those days was worth something like 5,475 pounds. And in the temple by Solomon, our model here, there were 10 of these golden candlesticks, whereas there was one in the tabernacle. And so that altogether would be well over 50,000 pounds worth. And that was all placed there, the 10 golden candlesticks, and they were placed in the first part, the holy place in the sanctuary. Now, I come tonight to the golden candlestick by way of application, the figure of the golden candlestick, and I ask myself, what is this golden candlestick saying to me tonight? And what is the message of the golden candlestick? What is the application of it? Well, I come into the New Testament. And you remember there, first of all, Jesus said in one occasion, I am the light of the world. And I believe in some senses the golden candlestick here would speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the one central shaft down the middle is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. And then you remember how he said to the disciples in one occasion, ye are the light of the world. And I think the six branches that came out of the central stem, and as we'll see one or two things about them in a few moments, those would speak of the individual believers that are lights in this dark world of sin, that are meant to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember also over in the book of the Revelation, our last reading tonight there, how that John saw the risen Lord Jesus in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And you remember how it was explained to him that the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Sardis, Laodicea, and so on. So I think we have arrived tonight at what is the application, what is to be the application of the golden candlestick. It is actually speaking of the light and the witness that the Lord Jesus Christ
together with his church, is bearing and shedding forth in this present and dark world. And so I think we have got something of the description, and I think something also of the application of the golden candlestick. Now, we're going to come to a number of things here tonight, and some very, very beautiful things that the golden candlestick will say to me by itself and by its position in the first sanctuary with the altar of incense and with the table of showbread. Now, first of all, number one, any of you taking notes, the first thing I want you to look at here for a moment is this, the figure of the golden candlestick, the figure of that candlestick that's before you. Now, the central shaft, as I've already said, is a picture or a figure of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. But I want you to notice more, and first of all here, not our Lord Jesus, but the several branches that belong to the candlestick, because they seem to speak to me of the branches of the church, and they seem to speak to me of the gifts given to the church, and they seem to speak to me of the individual believers that are meant to cast light, that God has placed in this world to throw light in the darkness of those that are going on and perishing in their sins. Now just look at this carefully and watch it. We're just brief on the thoughts here. The branches, the six branches, all came out from the side of the central shaft. They all came out of the shaft, the main central shaft. They all sprung out of it. That's where they came out. And those six branches there are a picture of the church of Jesus Christ, because she has come out of the side, the wounded side, of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because if it had not been for his wounded side and his shed blood that came out of that side, the church of Christ could never have come into existence, and she never would have been born. Those six branches owe their existence to the central shaft. It was one huge lump of gold at the start, and the branches were all beaten out from the central shaft. They owe their existence to the central shaft. And the church owes its existence to Christ tonight. And we have come out of the wounded side of Jesus. Second thing I want you to notice about the figure, just to show how full Old Testament type is. Those six branches, three on the one side and three on the other, were entirely dependent upon the central one shaft that was there in the midst. It was the central shaft that supported this branch, and supported that branch, and supported that branch, because they were all sprung out of the shaft. And apart from the central shaft, they never could have been held in their place, and they could never got so borne any light or witness or testimony. And you and I tonight are not only out of the side of Jesus, the wounded side of Christ, but we're supported and we're maintained. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was not supporting me and maintaining me and upholding me day by day as a light for him in this dark world, I should sink, I should fall, I should be lost. I should have no power to uphold myself. Like the branches, I've come out of the side of Jesus. And like the branches, I'm supported and maintained by him moment by moment and day by day. Sad thing about that fig, and it's this. Those branches, of course, were all joined to. They were part of and joined to. There was an indivisible union between the branches and the shaft. And I know tonight there is a blessed union between my soul and Christ. And I'll never be disjointed, and I'll never be parted, and I'll never be severed. I came out of the side, I'm upheld by Him and His power, and I'm joined, and I belong to Him. And that's the figure and the picture in part, that's all just in part, that I find there in the golden candlestick. Now that's the first thing, number one. The second thing that I want tonight is this, and you'll follow this quite readily and easily, is the purpose of the candlestick. Now, if you have your Bible open, Exodus 25, you see it very simply here for yourself. 37. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. In other words, the simple, straightforward purpose of the candlestick, as any candlestick, was to give light. And I know tonight that that is the purpose why God has me here in this present world. It's in order that I might shed light, that I may cast light. That's why I'm here. And that's why God would never let me rest, I know, as an individual Christian, until everyone, be it in my family, my connection, my friends, my neighbors, wherever I was, God would never let me rest until everybody knew whose I was and whom I served. Because I believe God wanted me to be a light and a witness and a testimony. Now let me show you three or four things here, very, very simple but very beautiful. Now let's come to that golden candlestick and bring over the other articles of furniture, in our imagination at least, and let's put them in their position. There are the candlesticks here, and over against here is the table of showbread. And over against the veil further back is the altar of incense. And then right behind that is the veil that leads into the most holy place, the place where God is, where God's presence is. So I have got the golden candlestick, I've got the altar of incense, and I've got the table of showbread, and I've got the way into the holiest of all. And let's put them in their position. There are the candlesticks here, and over against here is the table of showbread. And over against the veil further back is the altar of incense. And then right behind that is the veil that leads into the most holy place, the place where God is, where God's presence is. So I have got the golden candlestick, I've got the altar of incense, and I've got the table of showbread, and I've got the way into the holiest of all. Now watch this carefully. That golden candlestick in the tabernacle, and the 10 of them in the temple, one of the first things they did was this. They cast light. And what would have been an otherwise dark place, they shed light and they showed the way into the holiest of all, into the presence of God, so that the priest or the high priest coming in, the light was there to show the man the way into the very presence of God. It lighted up the way for him. Do you know tonight, dear friend, I believe that that's one of the main purposes why God has you here and me there as Christians. It's in order to show the way and to light up the path that men may see their way into the presence of God. And that's why God has you here as a branch of the candlestick, in order to light up the pathway that leads to heaven and home and the place of God's presence and God's abode. And I would say tonight, may God exercise me if I'm trying to hide my light and failing to show men the way into the presence of God. That's what the candlestick did. But then I see a second thing here. There was not only the way in at the veil yonder, but there was the table of showbread. And with the candlesticks burning here and the table of showbread there, I can see the candlestick casting light upon the table of showbread and lighting up the bread on the table. Now that's simple and straightforward. And you remember the night that we were on the table of showbread, we saw the bread as a figure or a picture or a type of the Word of God on which we feed. Now I believe it's my duty and it's your duty, and as far as God enables you, not only to light up the pathway into the presence of God for men, and to show them the way. But it's your duty also to cast light upon the showbread, so to speak, upon the Word of God. To try to open it up to others. To try to bring out its hidden meaning and its depths. I've seen this happen time and again. And believers will come to me and say, well now, I never saw that in that passage until you opened it up. Well, that's my task. To try to cast light upon the scriptures. And that's your responsibility and duty as far as God has shown you. You're here as a light. To show the way to God. And you're here as a light. To open up the sacred truth to others and to make these things known that otherwise would be hard to understand. Then I want you to see another thing. The candlestick right over here in the tabernacle, then 10 in the temple, they also cast light upon the altar of incense. Now, we were on the altar of incense, I think our last Bible class, and he saw the clouds of incense going up from the altar as a figure of the clouds of prayer that ascend to the very throne of God. But all that would have been in the dark, that altar, if it hadn't been for the candlestick, and it shed its beams of light right over where the altar of incense lay and lit up the whole matter of the altar of incense. Now I believe tonight that I can not only cast light upon the Holy Scriptures by dependence upon the Lord, of course, but I can cast light upon prayer. I can show to man the place that prayer should have in their lives. I can show to man the power that prayer can have in their experience. I can cast light on the problems that are with prayer. And as God places me here tonight, a candlestick or a branch in the candlestick of the Church of Christ, I want to lighten up the pathway for sinners into the presence of God. And I want to cast light on the Scriptures to help the saints of God. And I want to throw light on the place and power of prayer, the altar of incense. And God has placed me here right in the midst. And that's something of my duty tonight. And your task. And your privilege. You get the two things now? First, the figure. The branches coming out of. And the branches supported and dependent upon. And the branches joined in separately too. That's the figure. But then I see the purpose. Shedding light. Casting light all around. And showing men the way into the very presence of a holy God. Can't you see your task tonight? Your privilege? Now I want you to come for a third thing on the candlestick. And we're going to Leviticus for this. Leviticus chapter 24. If you open your Bible at Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to shine. Now, we have not only the figures and the purpose, but now we leave the golden candlestick and we come to the actual light itself. And we come in particular to the oil that was mentioned for the lamps, as we find it here in chapter 24. Now, there was the wick, and I have seven little wicks here, right into the top of the candlestick here. There were the wicks, and then there was the golden oil that was for the burning of the light. Now, the wicks would speak to me tonight of my own self as a believer, my capacity to drink in, to soak up, what God has for me, that I may burn and blaze for Him and cast light upon the dark world. That's what the wick was speaking of. I'll be on that in a moment. And the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so the wick and the oil is really the child of God in part and the Holy Spirit. And the child of God and the Spirit of God, these are the two things necessary for the burning of the light and the shining forth of the light. Let me take the wick. And all that that wick needed to be was soft and pliable and with the ability to soak in all the oil that it could. That was the first thing necessary, the wick. And then the oil was a type of the Holy Spirit, pure olive oil, not oil and something else, no foreign mixture, just the oil, just the Spirit of God, and my entire dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God. And as I tonight can take in and soak in until my whole being is saturated with the very Holy Spirit of God, every part of my life and nature, then I am ready for the fire of God, and I am ready to bear light and to burn for Him. I remember some years ago, I picked up a sermon of C.H. Spurgeon's upon that verse, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And upon the smoking flax, he had some marvelous thoughts to produce. I'm not sure whether the smoking flax had any reference to the candlestick or not. It may have had. It may have just been an ordinary lamp. But he brought out some very suggestive thoughts. Whenever the lamp gets low of oil, it begins to give off, instead of pure light, across the pathway of men, it gives off nasty fumes obnoxious, that are hard to live with if they're in the same compartment as yourself. And you know, when you and I, as God's children, when we get low in the graces of the Spirit and glow in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, what happens? We begin to light the candlestick to give off noxious fumes. You couldn't live with us. You couldn't live with us. You know, a candlestick low of oil in the same room as yourself, it would be very, very hard to bear. You'd want to hold your nose and clear out. And you know, where you get a child of God that perhaps once was a bright, pure, shining, clear light for Christ. But sad to say, the time came when they got low in oil. They were no longer drinking in, soaking up, filled with the Holy Spirit, the pure Spirit of God. And as a result, when the oil got low, they began to give off the noxious fumes. Hard to bear, hard to live with. Dear child of God, whenever you and I begin to get low in grace and low in spirit, we ought to beware and say, Lord, I need to get away alone with you, and I need to soak in and become filled with your Holy Spirit. And if I do, there'll be no problems burning and burning and burning bright for you. But when I get low of the oil, it's very hard to bear a good light. Dear child of God, do you see the necessity of the supply of the oil and of the wick that just soaks it all up and of a life that is saturated with the divine spirit? And where you get that life, you have one that will bear a pure light for the sake. So we have the figure, and we have the purpose, and we also have the oil for the candlestick, the supply, to keep it burning bright, soaking in the oil. Now I want you to come for a fourth thing here. And if you have your chapter open, Exodus chapter 25, well, notice now another fourth thing here. It says in verse 38, verse 37, that they may give light over against it, and then 38, and the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof. Now, in other place there, the tongs are called snuffers. And so, we have now the snuffers and the candlestick. We have the figure and the purpose and the supply of the oil. But there was also another thing that went along with the golden candlestick. There was the snuffers and the snuff dishes on which the snuffers were set. Sometimes you've seen this type of thing, perhaps in homes or houses. But one thing different here. The snuffers were not to extinguish the light, but rather to come right along the tops of the light, of the wick, and take off the old charred bits, and the burnt bits, and clean all the wick, and renew and revive the light, and take away everything that was hindering the light from going out and shining abroad in the holy place. Now that is full of figure, full of type and symbol too. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knows this tonight. And in some little measure I know it and you know it. That candlestick there, burning all through the night, if it did so in the temple, or all through the early mornings in the temple or tabernacle, naturally it would burn itself out, and the wicks would become charred. And you know, it needed the snuffers to come along and take off all the burnt and the worn and the charred bits and get it all fresh and new to burn brightly for the next night, the next day. And you know, when you're burning for the Lord, dear friend, it's very easy for you and me, it's very easy for us to get burnt out. Very easy for us to become worn and burnt out. And very easy for us to get to the place where we just can't soak up any more oil. And we just can't give out any more light. And we cry to God in mercy. And we say, Lord, look upon me. I just feel I can go no more. I can do no more. I need you to do something for me. And so just as the priest then would come in at that old moment, right and move amongst the 10 candlesticks, and he would come with his snuffers, and he would take the snuffs and he would put them onto the dishes, and he would take and bear that all away and leave it all fresh and new and ready to burn again. Do you know how many times I'm there? And I'm glad when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he removes all the weariness. And he removes all that's burnt out and spent. And he causes me to wait upon himself. And I become renewed in body and renewed in spirit and renewed in love and renewed in zeal. And I'm ready for him to light me afresh and to make me to burn for him. You see, dear brothers, dear sisters, it was not only necessary to have a supply of oil, the divine supply for the burning of the light. It was necessary to use the snuffers and the snuff dish. And to take away all that was worn and spent, bear it far away, and to leave the candlestick ready to burn afresh for God. Tell me tonight, in your service for the Master, the times do you feel you've got burnt out and spent? Then just wait for the great high priest to come. And he'll remove all the weariness and the spentness. And he'll get you shining brightly for him again. So, we have the figure and the purpose and the supply of oil with the snuffers. I want you to come now for one more thing mainly. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1 here. Revelation chapter 1. And the fifth thing here is we have the removing of the candlestick. Now, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Now, some of you have been asking me a very interesting question. What happened to the furniture that was in the temple? Now, I'm not sure if in a future night or not we will take the destruction of the temple. We may not. But where the golden candlestick was concerned, when Titus came up in AD 70, he took the one remaining golden candlestick in the temple away back to Rome. And there was a figure of it wrought on the arch of Titus. And then afterwards he eventually became lost so that there was no more knowledge of it. The candlestick was removed from the temple. From its place. And Jesus is speaking here. And he's speaking to this church at Ephesus. And he says, repent or I will remove thy candlestick. In other words, he threatens that this church, unless it repents and puts everything right, the Lord will completely extinguish and remove the light. Well, I come back tonight and I ask, where is Ephesus? And of course, it's no more. The candlestick's removed. Or if I was to come right along the churches of North Africa, the place where they once were in the early history of the church, where are they tonight? They're no more. The candlestick's removed. And one of the things that I fear, dear friends, is this, that you and I can see the candlestick removed in this very land and country of ours. So privileged, so long. I believe that unless the Church of Christ really rises up to its duty and does the work the candlestick was meant to do, there is the danger that it will be removed. I remember some years ago, there was in our home, stopping for a mission, a very dear brother. He was once in one of the assemblies across the water in England. And he told me a story, a case, an incident of a certain church in a certain area. Opportunity plenty to witness, but it wasn't doing its work for God at all. And he stood up and he warned that assembly, unless they got out and witnessed for Christ and sought to do the work of God in the district, the Lord could raise some other church up in this place to do the work. He said it wasn't very long after that till a certain other assembly of God's people, different from the earlier one, moved into the district and began to take over and do the work for God in that area that the church was meant to do. I believe God's not tied to any denomination. And I believe that if one church or one denomination or body of churches is not doing the work God intends them to do, then God can set them aside and God can raise up somebody else to do his work. And he'll do it. The thing that I would say tonight is this, dear people. Let us make sure that we're doing the work God intended us to do. And if we do that, there'll be no danger of the removing of the candlestick. Let's come back just in closing for a thought here again. And what was the purpose of the candlestick? The purpose of the candlestick in the holy place was to cast light on the way in to the presence of God. The purpose of the candlestick was to cast light upon the table of showbread. The purpose of the candlestick was to show up and enlighten and illumine all the things of God within the sanctuary and show them out to those that came in. That's our mission tonight. That's our mission. And I believe that as a church, if we are casting light on the pathway of men and women, showing them the way into the presence of God, let us see to it that no man or woman ever comes in of this door and goes out again without knowing God's plain, simple way of salvation. Let us see to it that no child ever leaves the Sunday school, but what knows the way of salvation and into the presence of God. And if we're doing that, and casting light on the Word for the building up of the saints, and we're seeking to fulfill the purpose that God has for us, instead of removing the candlestick, he'll come as the great high priest with new supplies of oil, and he'll quicken us into a bright, blazing assembly for him.
And that's what we want God to do. May the Spirit of God Himself fulfill it. We'll have a hymn together. And we turn to this old hymn 805. 805, brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore, but to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. 805.